MMA Roadshow, episode number 408. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me today, but that doesn't mean that we won't be hearing from Mr. Cole Coffee himself. Of course, I have stayed back here in Las Vegas, Nevada, enjoying a week at home while he has made the trip down to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, to cover UFC 283. I believe as we speak now, he's wrapping up media day down there with Mr. Hot T as well, Oscar Willis. And man, you know, 29 times I made that trip down to Brazil, 29 consecutive UFC events beginning in 2012, I believe. Was it 11 or 12? Right around there when they went back to Brazil for the first time. And man, got to see a whole lot of that country. And really enjoyed it. I mean, obviously the big cities there, Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo, those are the two ones that you most associate with. But man, we got to Belo Horizonte and Jaraguay de Sul and Uberlandia, and we went to a lot of places down there. Had a lot of great times. But several years since they've had an event open to the public, and I am no longer making those trips down there to Brazil. Maybe one day I'll head back. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll head back. After leaving MMA Junkie and kind of starting on this new path, one of the big things is honestly just trying not to travel quite as much if it's not entirely necessary. I love to go do the broadcasting gigs because those are, you know, a lot faster in and out. But man, that whole fight week away and the long trip down and the long trip back, it's just a lot of time away from family, to be honest with you, away from my kid. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, this 2023 calendar kind of challenged me to see if I was going to stick to those principles or not, because man, three of the first four pay-per-views are international. You know, you got Brazil, you got Australia, you got England, and man, a big part of me kind of gets that nervous feeling like, man, if I'm not around, I got to take part in this stuff. But stick it to the guns, and luckily we'll get UFC 285 here in Las Vegas. Got a couple fight nights here at the Apex as well, and of course got some commentary gigs lined up as well. So not making the trip this week, but the MMA Roadshow will still have you covered as always, of course. I will say that the first day that those guys got down there, Cold Coffee and Hot Tea, they sent me a nice picture from the beach there in Rio, chilling out there in the nice weather with an ice-cold original sitting on the table. And, man, I got to do a lot of that during the trips down there. And that did make me miss it a little bit. Just thinking back to sitting there, that nice breeze coming in off the ocean, you know, everybody's hanging out there, those ice cold originals, down more than my fair share of those frosty beverages out there. I did kind of miss out just for a second, like, ah, man, did I mess up? Because I do love Rio, I really do. As far as, you know, the cities go down there in Brazil, it's obviously, again, one of the most famous ones. But it's so nice because the hotels the UFC stays in, they're always right on the beach. And, you know, you get done with work and you just walk across the street. And that's me, man. You sit down in a plastic chair. You know, the beers are like a dollar for a liter. And it's even cheaper right now, man. Unfortunately, not a great thing for the folks of Brazil, but the economy is so rough right now that it's like $5 or $5.80 reais per $1, I believe, is the exchange rate right now, which the most it ever was when I used to go down there was like 4. And even then, I felt like we lived like a king because it just made everything so cheap. And now it's even cheaper. So, you know, they're going out hitting the churrascarias and you know, hitting the bars and not spending a lot of money. But I do love that. We used to, man, it was just like tradition in Rio, especially like because those events would get done at like 3, 4 in the morning. And the sun would almost be coming up. And it was so cool to, you know, to go out there after the events were over, sit on the beach and, you know, kind of just shoot the shit with everybody. You know, obviously everybody's kind of hanging out at one, you know, media members, UFC staff, fighters, coaches, training partners, all that, you know, just all kind of in one central location. And you kind of come back and have a few frosty beverages and watch the sun come up and then jump on a plane that night and come home. So I do miss it a little bit being down in Brazil once I saw that photo, but it is nice. Like I say, you know, when I think about it, and it's funny because before I was a parent, before my kid was this old, you know, people would say stuff like this, but I just didn't really understand it. But it's so true. Now that I think about it, it's like, man, one fight week is like 5 practices I miss with my kid. You know, he's doing jiu-jitsu, he's doing soccer right now. It's 5 dinners that I don't get to have with my kid. And, you know, it's just that time, man, that time you're just never going to get back. And, you know, not to be all mushy and sentimental here, but trust me, this international, this fight week right here, it's got me thinking about all these things, because part of me wants to be sitting on that beach, shooting the shit with my boys, having some time, dreaming some originals, and I remember, no, the point is to be here. The point is to be here. So, Cole Coffee will still be there. We'll check in with him a little bit later and find out what happened at Media Day, just kind of what the vibe is down there in Brazil. I'm sure it's exciting, man, because you remember, the last event in Brazil was like that first week of the pandemic, and so they made the decision at the last moment, to, okay, we're gonna host the event, but we're going to do it behind closed doors. I think at this point, we're talking about 2019 since they've had a live event down there, so you got to imagine it's going to be off the charts. And, of course, so many Brazilians on the card, man. You got Shogun Rua's retirement fight, man. That's crazy to think about what a legend that is. Last time around him, and at least on fight week, I'm sure he'll stick around the game a little bit. He is royalty. And of course, Glover Teixeira and Jamal Hill. I mean, it's not the title fight that we were expecting, but a title fight nonetheless. An amazing opportunity for Glover Teixeira to win the title back in front of his native Brazil. An amazing opportunity for Jamal Hill to, you know, come out of nowhere to be a UFC champion. I mean, what weird scenarios played out, but when you get these opportunities, you got to jump on them, right? You can't say no. You know, even if you don't think you're quite ready yet, or even you think it wasn't quite your time, you got to jump on it. And this is a big one for Jamal Hill. The tetralogy between Deiveson Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. I mean, dude, if you tell me you know 100% what's going to happen in a fight, I'm going to call you a dirty liar. Because after these dudes have gone 1-1-1, I just don't even know what to think. You know, will being in Brazil have any effect on Deiveson Figueiredo? I mean, will it have any effect on Brandon Moreno? You know, I heard, you know, even in the face-offs today that they had at the media day, you know, they were already the Uvai Moreira chants. And that's just in a media day session. I'm sure it was Figueiredo's team. But, you know, all that stuff is happening. Gilbert Burns is back against New. I love that. Gilbert Burns, the dude that'll fight anybody, against Neil Magny, the dude that'll legit fight anybody. I mean, it's phenomenal, phenomenal. Jessica Andrade, Lauren Murphy is back. That's a big one. Paul Craig and Johnny Walker. A lot of good ones here. You know, a Brazilian flavor, to say the least, but that's cool. You know, you kind of got Brazil versus the world, and I think the Brazilians like to see that. You got to have that nice mix, right? These regional events, whether it be Europe, whether it be Brazil, whether it be Asia, you know, you want to have some of those names, but you also want to bring in some of the local names, I should say. You want to have those there because, you know, it's people that you're familiar with. It's people from your area you want to cheer from, that sort of thing. But you also want to bring in people from the outside as well. People want to see those fighters that they've seen on TV. You know, they want to get a chance to see them live and in their backyard. So, fun card. I'm looking forward to it. I'll just be sitting in my office watching it, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. As I said, we'll check in with Cole Coffee in a little bit and get a little sense of the vibe down there in Brazil. Meantime, I mean, it's been crazy, right? Talked about it a little bit on the and a half episode this past weekend after UFC Fight Night 217, but, you know, we got John Jones versus Ciryl Gane, UFC 285 main event. Heavyweight title is on the line, and of course, Francis Ngannou, no longer your UFC heavyweight champion, no longer with the UFC, and wow, I mean, that just all unfolded really quick on a fight night that was just kind of we're here having a fight night, and then you get this big, crazy news. Now, you know, the way it played out was funny because, you know, those of us that were there in the media, you know, we're on social media and stuff while we're watching the fights and while we're filing our stories and doing whatever else. And we started seeing the pictures, and look, we all just kind of started looking at each other like, you've seen this, man? You've seen this picture of this billboard? And when I first looked at it, I'll be honest, I thought maybe it was a Photoshop. Maybe. Now, I will say I thought it was an incredibly high-quality Photoshop because they had, like, the sponsor logos on there. They had the UFC 30-year graphic. I mean, I was like, somebody that – but I thought maybe it was a Photoshop from, like, Ciryl Gane's team, right? Because, you know, Ciryl had sent out that one picture of, like, where are you, John? And he was in town, you know, to be there with Nassourdine Imavov. And I thought maybe somebody from the team was like, oh, you know what would be slick is what if we put this up? And if you looked at that original picture, it looked to me like maybe – on the top, the image was bleeding off the screen a little bit, and that's just what it looked like. It's, again, I mean, what am I? I'm not some Photoshop expert, but I was like, is that bleeding over a little bit? And the other thing that I thought was weird, too, is it was just Mar 4th, is it 4th or 5th? I can't remember. But it was just MAR, where normally they do it that way on the European presentation, but I thought here we would say March. Just go ahead and write out March on that billboard, but But anyway, no. You know, I thought maybe. Now, I wasn't, you know, I had heard they were leaning that direction anyway. I'd heard that was the way they were going. But again, you know, Cyril had posted that one picture where you had John. I thought maybe this was the next one. Like, oh, let's get people interested. Then somebody posted a video, and I was like, well, not that you can't fake a video either, but that's a little bit tougher to do. So, you know, at that point, you're like, okay, well, I guess this fight's happening. Like you guys, I was looking for the announcement the whole time. I thought maybe, and I'm guessing, I didn't bother to ask, but I'm guessing maybe the intention was to announce it this week, you know, with the pay-per-view, right? Like, that's your big audience, you know, you make your big announcements, whatever. Not just some kind of, you know, random start of the year fight night event. But, you know, then UFC President Dana White comes to the back, explains everything. And, of course, at that point, we know the fight's happening. But I guess the question was, is this an interim title fight? Like, what's the stakes of what's happening here? And that's when he revealed that Francis Ngannou was no longer with the company. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I was less surprised than everybody else. I think a lot of people was like, oh, my gosh, what? If Francis isn't around? I don't know, man. Maybe I'm alone in this. I don't know if you guys felt this way, but it just kind of seemed like this was getting inevitable to me. You know, everything was taking so long. The negotiations were taking so long. The matchups were taking so long. It was just taking so long to happen that I just assumed, like, yeah, I don't think they're going to do this anymore. Like, I don't think they're going to. So I kind of thought it was inevitable, to be honest with you. So I guess I was less shocked than everybody else was. Now, of course, I guess the big story after you get over the shock is that, you know, a lot of people really criticizing the way UFC President Dana White handled everything. Now, you know, listen, I don't know. I guess I'm just less hard on Dana than other people are in terms of, like, making sure you hold him exactly to his word, because I understand he's a promoter promoting his business. It doesn't do him any good to say something like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, we couldn't get a deal done and we're heartbroken about this, and this guy is going to kill it wherever he goes. I mean, if you want to, just because, you could, but what's the point of that? I mean, if you remember, the one that stood out to me was, remember when he said it for Shane Burgos, when Shane Burgos signed the PFL, and he was like, yeah, man, we messed up on that one. You know, we made a mistake. Something happened wrong there. I like that kid and wish he was still around. That stood out to me because normally you wouldn't say that. So I don't know. The people that are being so hard on Dan, I just think you have to understand the position. It's like, it really does remind me back in the day of, you know, when Chael Sonnen was at his peak and he would just say the most outlandish things, right? But you understand, he's just promoting a fight, man. He's stirring up interest. He's, you know, did you really see Big Nog handing a carrot to a bus? Of course not. What are you talking about? The dude's just saying stuff, man. He's trying to promote stuff. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much as a lot of people do. But I will say this. Make sure you go back and listen to the quote, because I will say that one thing of, I mean, I don't even know how many hundreds of hours at this point I've spent listening to UFC President Dana White, talking to Dana White directly, asking questions, answering questions. So I feel like I do a pretty good job of interpreting Dana. But I will say this. You know, a lot of people said, oh, he said, you know, he said Francis is scared of John Jones. He never said that. He never said, I think Francis is scared of John Jones. Now, I'm going to read out the exact quote. I think Francis is in a place right now where he doesn't want to take a lot of risk. He feels like he's in a good position where he could fight lesser opponents and make more money, so we're going to let him do that. And then later on, he said it again. He was kind of prompted again. He said he's got in his head that there's bigger opportunities outside the UFC with lesser opponents. To be honest with you, I don't think that's an inaccurate representation of what's going on here, right? But the big part of this is, I think Francis is in a place right now where he doesn't want to take a lot of risk. Now, I think that's the part where people are saying he's scared of John Jones. I think you got to understand the way to look at it. Now, think about the way the UFC does business, because we've heard this before, right? Wasn't John Jones in the same position, you know, holding out for you know, guaranteed money? It's the Randy Couture situation. I think when you talk about risk, I don't think you're talking about risk in terms of, you know, I don't think I can beat John Jones. I think it's one of those things where, you know, where's the financial guarantee? Is the guarantee up front? Where's that? That's what I want to know. Not that I'm going to be a back-end partner with him, and not in, you know, probably wants a contract that doesn't have a stipulation, because the UFC contracts have stipulations. Once you lose the title, your pay goes down. You don't keep that same pay you had as a champion. So that is taking risk, right? If you're like, if what they offered him was, hey, we'll give you, you know, $8 million a fight or whatever, but if you lose the title, you know, that goes back down to $2 million or something like that. That is taking a risk. And it is absolutely taking a risk against the best fighters in the world. That's, Dana never said the words that Francis is scared. So I've just been a little bit bothered by seeing people say that. Nobody's saying, first of all, it's stupid to say anybody on the roster is scared of anybody. Anybody that steps into that cage is not scared. You know, I just did an interview with Alan Belcher. He's about to fight for the BKFC heavyweight title. And he said, you know, I love this opportunity to go fight for the BKFC title because I win this. I think it opens up opportunities for me to do other things. And one of the things he mentioned was Francis Ngannou. Now, he said, you know, if you watch the full interview, I put a clip on social media, but if you watch the full interview, he did say, you know, he mentioned some boxers and some other possibilities. He's like, I'm just saying Francis because it's possible. He's a free agent right now. I hear we may be going after him, making an offer. And I think that's, you know, I would love to fight Francis Ngannou and bare knuckle. And, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek or whatever, I'm like, did you just say you want to fight Francis Ngannou and bare knuckle? Because that sounds scary as hell to me. Like, isn't that weird? But he came back and he had this awesome quote and it was like, look, of course it's scary. Like, who wouldn't that scare? But that's what I'm here to do. You know, we're here to face our fears. I want to face my fears at the highest level and I want to see how I do. And I thought it was just a phenomenal quote, right? But this idea that anybody's scared of anybody, no. Take that out of the equation. If you say that, then you obviously don't follow the sport closely enough or get to know these people well enough. And Dana knows these people well enough. He's not saying that Francis is scared, but there is financial risk in there. And I think that's a big part of what's going on here is Francis is doing the right thing here. Now, here's where it gets interesting. I tweeted out over the weekend or earlier this week as this was kind of all playing out. And my tweet was, I think the biggest challenge facing any promoter signing in Ngannou is providing quality matchups in the second, third, and fourth fight. The first fight is an easy sell. The UFC champ walked away. Now he's here. But what's the plan to provide compelling contest after? And then I left the question, can Tyson-like beatdowns sell pay-per-view in 2023? And I really do think this is key. Right now, you know everybody's going to make a play. Everybody's going to make a play. You know, PFL is saying they're going to make a play. Bellator is going to make a play. Everybody's going to make a play. I did say, by the way, I would love to see Francis Ngannou, Ryzen, New Year's Eve, Saitama Super Arena. I mean, put him in some kind of freak show matchup. Like, it would just harken back to days. You know how the Japanese fans, they love the big giants. You know, I saw a lot of people when I tweeted that making a comparison to Bob Sapp. And, yeah, but Bob Sapp on a different level, right? I mean, this is the actual reigning UFC heavyweight champion. But I think that would be cool. So hopefully there's a way to make that happen because I just the idea of Francis Ngannou heading over there I think would be incredible. But I really do think this is a big challenge for anybody involved, is that first fight is going to sell. No matter where you go, the first fight is going to sell. But who has depth on the roster to continue providing big fights? And so when I sent this tweet, you know, I saw a lot of people say, man, well, he should do one-offs. And I completely agree that would be super cool if he could do one-offs. But what's the real legitimacy or legitimate chance of that happening, right? Because if you're a promoter, you bring a guy in, you invest your resources, you invest your money, you do all these things to help promote the event. It turns out to be a blockbuster, let's say. You hit it, man. You cashed it. Boom. Now what do we do next? How do we work together next? And the guy says, oh, no. I just came for that one fight. I'm heading over to this spot over there. And now you as a promoter are like, what? I just spent all this time and money investing in you, and now I help build you up, and you're going elsewhere, and you're taking all that energy with you. So that's going to be hard to convince promoters to say, yeah, I'm good with a one-off. Now, it might not be a bad idea because, again, who has a roster to give him multiple fights? Multiple fights that you're willing to pay money for. Remember that. Not that you're just willing to tune in for. Of course we're all going to tune. If a Francis Ngannou fight is free or on basic cable that we already pay for, we're going to tune in. There's no question about it, right? But are we going to pay $60 for it? And that's a real question. Are we going to pay $60 for it? Because whoever is going to invest in Francis Ngannou, they're doing it as exactly that, an investment. They want to get their money back out of it. How do you get your money back out of it? Well, it's not just whatever TV deal you already have in place because you're already getting that money. I doubt any of these standard TV deals have any kind of escalators in there where it's like, hey, if you hit these ratings marks, you know, we'll give you X million dollars. Maybe they do. Maybe they do, but I don't normally hear that. Normally it's just like, hey, flat rate, here's what we get. Keeps everybody on the same page in terms of, hey, we're all looking for success. So what are you going to do? You're going to put him on pay-per-view, right? Which makes the PFL seem like the most logical home for me. I'm not saying that that's where he's going, but that seems like the most logical home for me, knowing that they're pushing this pay-per-view division, knowing that they're trying to go all in, what a huge addition this would be to their roster together. So this seems the most likely to me, right? Bellator is going to network television. That's big, you know, but again, what kind of resources are they looking to commit? I don't know. I'm not sure. And again, you got to talk about multiple fights. It's not just the one fight. The first fight's going to be big, but how do you make 2, 3, and 4 big? I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. So I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying, those organizations are probably just going to have to bring in opponents for Francis Ngannou. But that's going to be the biggest responsibility. And I think that's what's going to be interesting to see if this works long term. Now, short term, what this definitely does is give him an opportunity to box. And I know he's talked about it. I from the moment I heard this, the logical move is you go box first, right? And it's weird because, and I've said this for years, if you've listened to the show or watched videos or whatever, I've said this anytime we talked about it. It's such a weird thing for me because I would love to see Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury. You know, I think the spectacle of it would be great. I don't think Francis would win. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Francis. I'm not speaking specifically about Francis. It's just to me that any elite level mixed martial artist that goes to fight an elite level boxer is going to lose. In the same way that any elite level boxer came to mixed martial arts, they would lose as well. It's two different sports. And I know Francis Ngannou packs a punch, but man, those heavyweight sluggers all pack a punch, man. They're the hardest punchers on earth. And Tyson Fury's been out there with, just any of those matchups, So it's weird, but again, the spectacle of it would be fun. The build-up of it was fun. I mean, Maymac was crazy. This wouldn't be on the level of Maymac. Those are two cultural icons. It wouldn't be on that level. But it would be cool, right? And if you've ever been around Francis Ngannou, good dude. And even if you hate the guy, even if you hate Francis Ngannou, which I don't know why you would, but even if you hated Francis Ngannou, why would you hate on his opportunity to go maximize his income? And I think right now, boxing is where you have to go now. Because if you go sign somewhere else and you have an MMA fight and you lose, I don't know that excitement is there anymore, right? I mean, and it could happen. And again, I just said I don't know that everybody has a roster that's going to be intriguing, but it's heavyweight MMA. It's MMA, period. Anything can happen in an MMA fight. That's what we love about the sport. It's like, you look at a fight, and you're like, I'm pretty damn sure that guy is going to win. But I can't completely rule out the other guy because anything can happen. You can get caught with a punch. You can, one transition goes wrong and you get stuck in a submission and your arms and when you're, your arms at risk here in an arm. I mean, who knows? There's just all these things that can happen. And that's what we love about the sport. But if Francis goes out there and loses, everything goes away. Everything goes away, right? I mean, there's not a boxing opportunity on the table. Now, I'm not saying the MMA contract will be gone. Then maybe you have a rematch, et cetera. But that big payday, the biggest payday, the boxing payday, it's there now. And so I think you have to go box. And, maybe before you sign the MMA deal, maybe you do sign the MMA deal. I mean, maybe you sign the MMA deal, but you're like, hey, listen, I'm not signing an MMA deal unless you know I can box. Now, does the PFL become less attractive because now you're going to be selling a pay-per-view and they got to sell a pay-per-view? I don't know. That's how all this stuff works out. But that's just the way I see it. I think he's got to go box now. Because he's going to get that money. And then at that point, I don't know what he's going to make. Like, Conor McGregor, that $100 million figure, that's not happening, right? It's not Conor McGregor, one, and it's not Floyd Mayweather, two. Again, those guys are once-in-a-generational, promotional-type guys, right? But Fury, I think, would be interesting because Fury is such a great salesman, right? I mean, that guy is a talker, man. And you're telling me that, he would build Francis. And that's the thing about Fury is cool is that he wouldn't have a problem building up Francis Ngannou as this absolute monster. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to do that in promotion, right? Like the easy promotion is like, that dude sucks and I'm going to show the world that he sucks. But, sometimes promotion's better the other way around. And you're like, just look at that guy. Look how scary he is. Like, I mean, I know this is my world, but man, I look at him and I don't know, I get a little nervous, And all of a sudden, so you're adding that, like, inside you don't feel that doubt, but you're just throwing that shadow of doubt out there because that's what we want in fight sport, that what could happen. And I think Tyson Fury could do a good job of that. And then, you just look at Francis Ngannou, it's not, you don't have to know anything about fight sport at all to look at Francis Ngannou like, oh, that dude could probably knock people out. Now, the one thing that will be a challenge, too, is that when he... that may hurt in the promotion of it is there's no way in hell the UFC is going to give any boxing promoter any footage, right? There's no way they're going to license any footage. Like, you can tell they're a little bit salty right now. They're a little bit upset. And, you know, with Mayweather, they're like, hey, we're in on this. We get a piece of this, so we'll help you out. This one, ain't no way in hell they're going to possibly, do anything at all to give them, to help them out. It's just not going to happen. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. But still, I think it could be a big fight. I think it would make money. And at that point, let's I don't know. I've been throwing out a figure like 30 mil, right? Wasn't that the conversation a couple years back that, were they using Deontay Wilder as the it was about 30 million. So I'm going 30 million. If he makes 30 million, then maybe you don't even care what the long-term contract is, right? Maybe at that point, you don't even care what you get from an MMA organization. Maybe you come back to the UFC. Maybe all you want to do is get that one thing done. Now, I will say the stuff that that Francis is advocating for, it's awesome. It's awesome. The problem is you got to get everybody on the same page. I mean, that's all going to be done through collective bargaining. Like, you can't get, as an individual, you individually can have advertising rights, and hey, you as an individual, we'll get you medical insurance, and hey, you as an individual, that's not going to happen. And so in that sense, of the things that he's advocating for, you're better off on the inside than you are on the outside, because, you know, maybe you could help affect some change from within, but that's a whole different situation. I mean, right now, we're going to see what happens. I'm intrigued by it, but my bet is that this ends up being boxing next. But anyway, listen, one benefit of me not making the trip to Brazil is I was available to talk to John Jones. John Jones was available kind of out of the blue. Unfortunately, since I was home, I was able to take it. There was no video available. It was just a phone call. But I was like, man, this was a pretty good phone call. I mean, obviously I had to record it because I was going to write something up. And it ended up being, I thought, a pretty good conversation. So just laid some B-roll over it and put it on YouTube. I'm assuming at this point most of you that are listening to this have probably seen it. If not, I guess maybe put this on pause and go listen to it. It's not that long. I thought about including it here, but again, it seems like repetitive, which leads me to a bigger, get to that later. I'm thinking about doing maybe an extra episode because I do a lot of interviews every week. And to be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of video interviews, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of audio. But I've got these interviews, and I've been putting them up on YouTube, and I was thinking maybe I should just put them in an audio section as well and maybe do like a second episode each week that's just my interviews for the week and maybe set them up a little bit. I don't know. If you got any feedback on that, let me know, especially if you're one of our longtime supporters at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, because you are super VIP to us, and we appreciate everything that you do to help support the show. I don't know. Let me know. Is it too much? I mean, I know there's a billion podcasts out there, but some of the interviews I like, and I wish I was using them in more than one place. But then I worry that, like, you're going to watch them there and hear them there, and you're going to be bored and skip. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. But anyway, with John Jones, I thought it was a good conversation. It seemed to be in a really good place, man. It seemed to be in a really good place. I mean, just from the moment, the greeting was obviously very pleasant. And the closing kind words as well. But just as he talked, seemed in a good place, especially it just sounded more mature. There was one moment where I asked him about, is he the greatest of all time, or does he think about the greatest of all time, or does legacy and all that, does he think about that all, or does he have to avoid those thoughts because he's got to really focus on just the fights and the task at hand, and I thought his answer was great, where he said, look, I think in cage, I'm already the GOAT. I don't even think there's much of a discussion. I think I've proven that. Personally, me, I tend to agree. I know a lot of people don't, but I do agree with that. I do have John Jones ranked as my personal greatest of all time, and I think doing this would be even greater, right? I mean, this would be an even bigger deal. But without prompting, he even said, but great is a big, it's a big word, and with some of the stuff that I've done outside, I'm very aware of my image. I'm very aware of my reputation in and out of the cage. And, with some of the other things I've done, maybe people don't consider me. And I don't know, without even bringing it up, I thought that was some self-awareness on John Jones' perspective. Maybe this past 3 years away has been some time of learning. I mean, at some point you do grow up a little bit, right? He's 35 years old now. Maybe he is starting to grow up a little bit and face the reality that, hey, man, this thing's all done here in a little while. and what's left is my family, and what's left is, you know, my life around me, and that's the things I got to focus on. Now, I don't know. What do I know? What do I know from a couple-minute conversation? But that's just what came across to me, man. Maybe he's still out partying and doing whatever, but I don't know, man. It just seemed like a more mature version of John Jones. So, and I love the fact that he kind of laid out exactly what his plan is, which is, you know, first of all, admitting he's disappointed he's not facing Francis Ngannou. I know he's you know, said, hey, you know, I think in another interview he said, like, do not fault that man at all. I didn't ask him, you know, do you fault him? I think he's actually talking to Justin Morasso from Sports Illustrated, my coworker. I think he told him, like, I don't fault Francis at all for his decision. You know, that man should go get his money, and, you know, kudos to him for doing that. But he did say, a little disappointed. You know what I mean? That's the fight that I wanted. That's the fight. You know, more people know about it and you know him. Plus, it would be taking a title off somebody, not just winning a vacant title, which that does always, it always means a little bit more, right? Claiming a vacant title, it's the reason. It's the reason that, you know, the UFC hates when people walk away from belts and hates when people, you know, whether it be to leave the organization, whether it be to retire or whatever, it's because that belt, it's got a little asterisk to it, right? Like, you didn't win it. You didn't beat the champ. You just beat a guy. And you know how MMA works. As soon as you beat the guy, he wasn't that good to begin with. He didn't even deserve to be in the title shot to begin with. So I love the fact that he admitted, but he did say, listen, Ciryl Gane, although I have seen a lot of people laughing that I believe it sounds a lot more like Ciryl Gane, which was funny. I didn't want to correct him. Hopefully somebody will fill him in, you know, by the time it's fight week. But, you know, he did say, look, I respect Ciryl Gane. I'm not looking past him at all. Did say, you know, kind of funnily enough, I guess, you know, he had watched the Ngannou-Gane fight plenty of times, because he was trying to break it down Nagano's perspective, right? But it ended up giving him an opportunity to watch Gane, so he is familiar with this game. But then he also said, but, you know, I had wanted Stipe, and my plan right now is I want this, and then I want Stipe, and then we'll talk. Now, listen, not beating Ngannou, not getting that opportunity does suck for him, for sure. But he beats Gane and beats Stipe. That's tall order, I know. Tall order, I know. But, even the John Jones haters, can you still doubt him at that point? Can you still have anything bad to say about him whatsoever? Do you just have to be like, don't like the guy, but he's the GOAT? I mean, I think you would have to. So, anyway, tall order. We'll see. I did think funny, too, asking John Jones, hey, what are you going to weigh? And he was like, you know, I'll let Ciryl see that. Last time I saw him in person was at the Hall of Fame. He was wearing a suit. But he was big. He was really big. You could tell he had packed on a lot of muscle. You could just see it, you know, in his neck and his arms. I mean, you could see it. So we'll see. I mean, would it be crazy? I don't think he's cutting down to 265, but what if he is? I mean, what if he is? So that's intriguing. I'm intrigued by the fight. I love the fight. I'm looking forward to it. It's not the fight we wanted, but I think it's still a good fight. And I do think, listen, I think Ciryl presents more problems for John Jones. I mean, with Francis Ngannou, you know what you're looking out for, right? Like, whatever you do, be careful with that big wild shot, because if he hits it, you're going out. I know that Francis Ngannou out-wrestled Ciryl Gane, and that was a big part of his victory last year, but I don't think Francis was going to out-wrestle John Jones. But I think Ciryl does present more issues, more things to worry about, a little bit more athletic, a little bit more movement. You know, we'll see. Will the wrestling hold up at heavyweight? You know, you go back and look at some of his, you know, most recent fights. John Jones' wrestling wasn't as great as it once was. But I loved hearing John Jones say too, man, you know, again, kind of unprompted, just saying, man, these last couple fights, it was just like another day at the office. Like, you could tell, he's like, yeah, I was just kind of checked out on it. You know what I mean? Love that he's admitting that. Love that he's admitting that, because I do think it goes a long way to helping explain some of those kind of flatter performances that he was having. So, he sounds energized. He sounds focused. He sounds excited, and that's a dangerous guy. That's a really dangerous guy. So, excited. You know, we've got a month and a half or whatever to build up to it. We've got some other fights in between, including this weekend. But it's going to be good. I tell you one other thing that I like too. You know, just kind of a parting shot, and he ended up giving a great quote. And we were pressed up against it. I mean, I got him on the phone, but I was told, hey, keep this quick, please. because I wanted to go down a tangent real quick, because when I said, hey, listen, there's going to be people that haven't seen you fight before, which is true. I mean, there's a lot of people that started watching this thing during the pandemic. They haven't seen this guy. So what do you want them to know about, you know? And, but it was funny because as I was saying there's people that haven't seen you fight, he said, yeah, I know. I've seen the betting line. And I thought, oh, this is Petty John. I like Petty John Jones. That means he's holding a grudge. That's my favorite. But then he did give that line. It was interesting. You know, I asked him that, and if you watch the video, he kind of pauses for a little bit. He's like, And then he's like, man, I want him to know that there's levels to this game. And I was just like, give me some goosebumps. Give me some goosebumps, man. I love it. By the way, just throwing it out there real quick, because if you haven't seen this, I retweeted it, I think, in the middle of the night last night. But Phil Rowe, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite dudes online. Obviously, he's come and grappled for us a couple times at Fury Professional Grappling. He was the one that filmed that big incident last time out between Richie Lewis and Eddie Torres, the backstage stuff that hopefully is going to result in an MMA fight. I know they're trying to get them to sign a contract. I think, from what I'm hearing, Eddie signed the contract already, and Richie is a little hesitant, and I think maybe has some stipulations of where it takes place or whatever. So I don't know if that's progressed, but I think at least one half of it's done. Maybe neither here nor there, but in my CFFC world, it's a fight that I definitely wanted to see because those dudes do not like each other at all. But anyway, Phil Rowe has quickly become one of my favorites. And if you go check out his Instagram, I don't know if he put it on Twitter too, but on Instagram, he reenacted the entire, well, not the entire, but a big portion of the John Jones, Daniel Cormier, you know, caught on tape exchange, and he does both sides of it. And I don't know, it struck me as pretty funny, especially with John Jones coming back, just hearing that whole dialogue again. It's such a classic moment in UFC history, but to see Phil Rowe acting out both sides of it is pretty wild. So anyway, yeah, ton going on in the world of MMA, man, and you know, not as dark as it was the first couple of weeks. Maybe still some wild news. But yeah, plenty to talk about. And shame I couldn't do it with my boy Cold Coffee, but fortunate to be able to do it here in Las Vegas and stay home with family. But as promised, that does not mean you won't hear from Cold Coffee, because he's with Hot Tea right now in Rio de Janeiro getting ready for UFC 283. Take it away, boys.
Well, thank you, John, for that handoff. And yes, we are enjoying the Brazil life. Maybe not as much today, but we'll get to that. But the reason why is because yesterday we did enjoy Brazil. Oscar, you got in here early on Monday. You decided you want to come get the party started earlier for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know why, because as soon as I got here, everyone just says, don't go outside or they'll shoot you. So I just got here a day early and sat in my hotel room wondering about how I could be safe.
But then we did go on Tuesday. You talked me into coming over here, and we went into the first actual place that we went to. It was the cabana across the street, which was the one that infamously got robbed. Everybody got robbed years ago. But there was none of that this time. The sun was shining. The beaches were loaded with people. There was a nice breeze going. Yeah. And if I remember right, the originals that we're drinking, the big tall ones, were 18 Hayash, which is roughly less than $4 a pop, something like that.
I really stopped paying attention to the price after the fourth one.
Yeah, which we did. I think we put down maybe 6 or 8 of them there, something like that.
It was at least 8, and then I got onto the vodka, and that's why I feel quite so timid today.
Well, what's funny is, you know, so they collect your bottles after you're done to sort of charge up. They're not running, like, it wasn't like he was going to a machine and running a tab or something, but you started seeing the eyes when people were looking over at our table as the pile of bottles started getting bigger and bigger.
That's how we fucking do it.
That's how we do it. But I'll tell you what, like we said, the water, the sun, everything was beautiful, and Oscar got to see me perv out talking about all the lovely ladies here. Yeah. Curves, lots of lovely things.
Yeah, it's criminal, really, bordering on actually being criminal.
Yeah. And then we had a nice steakhouse dinner, where we continued having some more drinks. We ran into the old translator, the original translator for the UFC, Richard, down here. So we had the old steakhouse that we used to always go to, which is lovely and delicious. And halfway through it, Oscar decided he was done, and he was like, I need to go.
Well, I know when my limit... Well, actually, that's not true. Like, I sometimes know. I know when the button's about to go, like, you're about to pass out at this table. So I wasn't using the tools correctly. I kept trying to just grab the steak with my bare hands and stuff like that.
That was pretty funny. And we had it multiple times.
Remind me every single time, because every time they came,
use the tongs, the tongs. Okay. He's just reaching out as the guy's slicing it with a giant sword knife.
So
that made for a rough day today, which today was UFC Media Day. They had 14 fighters. They had the full main card as well as the two fights just before, which is Shogun Hua, which is his last fight, against Ihor Poteria.
Yep.
I think I butchered that last name. And then we also had Gilbert Burns and Bruno Fajeda, who's stepping in place of Brad Tavares. Right? Yeah. Am I getting that fight wrong? No. I'm messing up my fights.
Gregory Rodriguez.
He's the other one. Yeah, you're right. But, all right. Well, I guess just initial thoughts on the media day today. I mean, it had a decent crowd. And I guess we thought, that it was just going to be crazy Portuguese. So we actually talked to the UFC and yourself, myself, and MMA Fighting's Guilherme decided, hey, can we just do all English at the beginning and then hand it off, which was the best thing that we ever decided to do ever. It was really great how it kept going. But what was your thoughts on just, I guess, the overall media day, the other fighters that went there and what's your thought?
Too fucking friendly. Everyone was too friendly.
Yeah?
I thought so, yeah.
You thought they'd be talking a lot more shit?
No, I mean, I'm being pedantic. But I thought that Gilbert Burns is very good. I think he's rightfully frustrated he can't get a big fight, but the kind of guy he is, he'll just fight the best guy he can get his hands on, so I like that. I thought that Jamal Hill was short, but confident.
Definitely looks very focused.
Yeah, I thought Glover was, the usual self, just here having a nice time, just happy where he's at in his life. I thought those were the sort of main ones. Moreno and Figueiredo, it's kind of funny, we've really heard all there is to hear at this point about those two fighting each other, and I think even they feel that way. Figueiredo was doing his stuff, saying Brandon's scared of him and stuff like that, but
which is pretty silly.
Well,
what'd you think about Shogun and the fact that it's his last one? I thought, well, I mean, he definitely showed emotion. I don't know if I thought he'd be more emotional or take more in. It felt like it was just like another day in the office, but I felt like there was a little bit of it there, but I don't know.
No, I felt the same. I felt like he wasn't. To be honest, his energy was such that I had to sort of second guess if he was really retiring. I had to Google it while he was sitting there. I was like, he is retiring, right? He just seemed, like you said, another day at the office. I think maybe that could be just because he's done this fight week so many times that he just doesn't give any energy to things like media day. Or it could just be that it's not really sunk in yet, I do think he said, once I'm retired, I do believe him there.
Yeah, that was interesting because, was it you or Guilherme that asked that? But,
Guilherme.
It was about the fact of, you see a lot of guys now, they leave the UFC, you think they're done, but then they go into boxing.
Yeah.
And he was definitely very clear that, no, this is it. When I leave combat sports, I'm leaving all combat sports.
Yeah, he said he hates it when people do that.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
That's a pretty strong reaction to people doing it.
Well, I mean, let's give it 6 months and see.
Yeah, when he's doing it. Do you hate yourself?
Yeah.
Do you hate yourself now, Shogun?
Yeah, so we'll see. But I thought it was a cool media day, I think. I think it had the same sort of energy as the card has, to be honest. First one of the year, but no massive fights on it. And it's kind of a couple of cool matchups that I'm looking forward to watching. But I don't think many people... Myself personally, it's not like I'm really anticipating this card. Like, oh, fuck, I can't wait for Saturday to get here.
Yeah, for sure. Is there any fight? I mean, before we break down just quickly the main and co-main, are there any like sort of hidden gems that you think that somebody needs to pay attention to?
I feel like Johnny Walker versus Paul Craig could be a bit of a weird shit show, and that could be entertaining. I actually think Gilbert Magny could be good too.
That could be good.
Could be good, but it could also be just a clinch happy wrestlefest.
I thought he gave the greatest break. I thought he really understands Neil's skills. When he started talking about how Neil wants to try to work it into the clinch, I thought his analysis and breakdown of it was just spot on.
Gilbert's good, man. I thought Terrence McKinney's on the card. He's always pretty good value.
What do you think? How do you think that Jessica Andrade, Lauren Murphy? You think that's going to be good? Because Lauren's tough as can be, but man, Jessica, when she's able to turn it on, and there is something about her in this building, I mean... almost saw her take Rose's little life up there. She just She's one of those ones that definitely gets fired up.
I asked her, are you going to try and slam Lauren? And she went, well, if she fights like Rose, I was like, well, she's not going to fight like Rose, is she? So what the fuck are you talking about, this kid? But yeah, I think that could either be Jessica, you know, coming out aggressive and sort of having Lauren on the back foot and beating her to the punch all fight. Or actually that could be Lauren imposing her size and just jabbing her away and keeping her away most of the fight. And yeah, it's sort of frustrating Jessica.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, do you think she has a good you think she has a chance?
Who?
Murphy.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Murphy might actually win.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. Depends, man. I kind of... I just think
she's got good size, you know, and I kind of, not that I forgot that, but I initially leaned Andrade in my staff picks, but man, Murphy just has a way of showing up, man. When she shows up and she does what Lauren does best,
yeah,
I think she could frustrate Andrade. I think she, you know, if she could tire her down, if Andrade tries to use too much, you know, power and starts to wear herself down, Lauren doesn't, she doesn't wear down. I mean, she at least doesn't tire, yeah, it seems.
Well, that's what I think. I think if... It's probably going to go to the decision, which actually I might put a bet on.
Oh, there you go. Can you do it over here still?
Nope. But
you know people.
I know people. But I think...
that's James Krause, by the way.
I don't know James Krause, actually, to be honest. I don't think I've ever spoken to him properly. But yeah, I think that fight could be interesting or could just be a wash.
Yeah. Well, those are definitely good ones. I think you picked the best of the... other ones for sure. All right, well, let's jump in. I mean, I'm going to make this section because everyone wants to just listen to John. They don't want to listen to us. And
us fucking peasants.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And plus we need to get back onto the beach and do some drinking.
No.
But not tonight, right?
No. You want to, don't you?
I think I'm going to drink a beer when I get back to my hotel room. See if it helps my head, because I feel like, not that I want to go hair of the dog or what do you want to call it. I just feel like I've had this fog hanging over my brain all day, and I wonder if just one beer will clear it up.
But one becomes two so very
well. I have
very
two
easily.
In my room, so
one becomes two so very
but,
easily.
But I'm not you. No. I can stop. I think. All right. Well, let's hop into the co-main event: Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno.
I can stop. I just like to have a good time, Kenny.
I know. Why stop? Have a good time, especially here. What's funny, of course, Morgan in his wise words. You know, when I was like, "Oh, we're both kind of like a little tired, a little hungover, whatever." And his tweet does, or his message was like, "Well, if you're there, you got to make the most of it." And you're like, "You're right. Make me feel better that I got a fucking just." Brutally drunk yesterday.
Well, I mean, like, I plan on getting pretty fucked up tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Tell us about tomorrow. What's on deck for tomorrow?
They're doing a media mixer for some shit that I don't care about, but there is alcohol there, so I'll be attending. And then they're also doing another media mixer sort of meet and greet thing up at Christ the Redeemer.
Yep.
Where obviously they don't serve alcohol. So I plan on bringing a flask.
Are you?
To the most religious spot in Rio de Janeiro.
Well, it's going to be nighttime, so, I mean, you can be able to hide it and drink or whatever.
Depends if I carried on drinking from the media mixer at 12,
I know,
doesn't
that's
it?
What, it's, there's the possibility that nobody will make it to the bus to go to the Christ the Redeemer.
But. I need you to interfere if you think I've gone too far. I need you to stop me getting on.
I've never been able to successfully that's stop true. You.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, anyway.
I've successfully helped you get home, but never actually to get you to stop drinking. Because the switch happens quick when it finally flips and then it's like, oh, Oscar's no longer in the building. That switch is really, really quick.
Do you mean when it's time for me to go home? Or
when it's time for you to go home.
Oh, yeah. No,
because you're strong. You're going. And then it's like, oh, he's done. Oh, okay. Yeah. There's no like lead up.
He's sprinting down the street.
He's calling for help and we don't know where he's at.
Oh, yeah, that did happen. I forget about that.
All right. Davison. Brandon, you know, you talked to both guys today, and we don't have to break it down too crazy, but I guess where's just your initial leans? If you're talking about betting, not on this one, obviously, but if you had to put your money down, who's taking your bet?
Davison Figueiredo by decision, I reckon, because personally, I think if you look at all their fights, they're so close, except the second fight. The ones that went to decision were very, very close, and I think if this one does that, Brazil... I just think the judges will give it to Davison, you know.
Yep.
Even if it's not that close, I feel like he'd get it.
Yeah.
You know, so Moreno's got to think about that. I do think Moreno's just tough enough to take Figueiredo's best stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's always the same, right? You probably would say, based on how we've seen them so far, Figueiredo is the more dangerous and potentially better fighter. But if he doesn't do everything correctly in his preparation in terms of weight cut.
I would say
fades.
Do you think there's any possibility he doesn't? Because we've seen him mess up with the belt on the line. Do you think there's any possibility that he allows that? He certainly did not look like he was struggling, but that is either a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, because
he didn't look sucked in today, and he's very chatty.
Yep.
And I think, if I remember right, last time he was sucked out at this point.
Yeah. I was thinking that way as well. So, I mean, I hate to put that out in the universe, but it's not like it's us chicks. That's just him doing what he does. But, yeah, he didn't look sunken in. He was very, very energetic today, which is typically not the thing that happens when they're struggling to get through.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is what day is it? It's not Tuesday. It's Wednesday. So he has a whole full day to really start cranking it. But you figure that they have to start immediately tonight. If he's not already, like, hitting it, I don't know if that's just they just do a straight like night before and then that's it and they get used to it. But you figure at this point tonight, he's already got to start the process, at least in some manner, you know, if he's doing it. But looking at Brandon didn't really look sunken either, but he never looks too crazy.
Yeah, he's
fine. Yeah.
I think it's one of those fights where I'm not like anticipating it, but when it starts, I'll be really into it because it'll be a great fight.
Yeah, and I think and just the crowd. I mean, there's always something about Brazilians fighting in Brazil, you know, that really does it. And the fact that now we have the belt on the line and then knowing that crowd, if Davidson can beat the scale, if he can win the fight at the scale, that crowd for him going in there at night is going to be fantastic, you know. But what's crazy about Brandon is he wants that. He wants those boos. He wants those cheers. And it's going to amp him up as well. I have no fear that he's going to walk in there and be shocked or just be put off by the crowd at all. You know, if anything, I think he's going to probably be amped up to go into the enemy territory and take all those cheers. You know, if anything else, it might make the best Brandon come out.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm leaning Davidson as well on that one. I think you're probably right decision, you know, unless for some reason he's able to land some crazy, you know, strike to the head that just knocks Brandon down. But at this point, Brandon's felt the power. He knows what he knows what's coming.
He did get dropped like 100 times in his last fight, they say.
But we'll see. But all right, so that's both of us going for Davidson on that one. For all you gambling people that love to listen to this podcast for all the wonderful gambling tips that we'd give, which we never give. All right, lastly, let's talk about the main event. Glover and Jamal, where are you leaning on that one?
Glover. Really? It was Jamal until today.
Dude, I'm the exact same. I picked Jamal, but there was something about Glover and his confidence and just when somebody said about how Jamal, and I completely forgot about how Jamal got taken down in a recent fight or whatever, and it was like no big deal, you know, like against a guy that wasn't really known for like takedown. Was it Thiago or something? But it made me start to like falter. Actually, I forgot that I was going to reach out to Matt Erickson, who handles our staff picks, and swap my pick. But I think I'm going to wait to see how it looks when they're on weigh-in day, just to see what that morning, just see how they both are. But seeing that face-off that took place the other day when, you know, where they were like nose to nose, Glover's a big boy, man.
Yeah, I just think skill set-wise, I actually think it has a potential to be another Glover versus Jiri kind of fight,
right,
where it's just chaos, where, you know, Glover gets hurt but comes back and takes him down. And
right.
It could be a barn burner, but I do think at this point Glover's just a little bit crafty.
Yeah.
Just a little bit too crafty for Jamal.
I just feel like he's not going to accept a loss in there, like, you know, unless it's out of his hands where he just clearly gets the light shut off. Like, he just wants to go out there in front of that Brazilian crowd and give him something. And I just don't know if Jamal doesn't get him with a knockout, I'm with you. He doesn't have the breadth of skills to get, you know,
a submission. I think Jamal is a top tier light heavyweight. I want to be clear, but yeah, we'll see.
Man, you're gonna make me have to swap my picks. But right now on the staff picks, I'm on Jamal, but I am starting to lean towards Glover. But I guess we'll make the final decision on Friday.
Yeah.
On Friday I have to put in. But are you looking forward to the super late finish of the event?
No. What time is the super late finish?
The last fight's supposed to end around 3, which means after the post-presser, we're probably leaving the arena around 4 or so.
Later than that, mate.
Right.
If the last one's at 3, probably 5 or 6.
Because especially we have to wait for the guys to take forever.
On that, and then obviously everyone in Portuguese is going to talk to them, and they love out. Like, wasn't Glover there for like 25 minutes today?
Yeah,
you know. So, what time does it start?
So we need to have Brandon and Jamal win so that it's a short
post. They'll bring Glover back anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'd have
to
look
to see what time it starts, but I know that they're saying that's supposed to end around 3. So yeah, you're probably right. Probably about 6.
So I get really messed up Friday night.
I guess we have to. I mean, yeah, you can't do it.
Sleep most of the day Saturday, wake up,
have but then lunch, it is. Back to sleep. When's your flight on Sunday? Sunday night, though, right? So you got a little bit of drinking time on Sunday?
No, my flight's on Monday morning.
Oh, that's right. You got a whole nother day. Look at
is
you.
It a Monday? I didn't think there was a flight that I could come back on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm Sunday late Sunday night, like 11 o'clock, something like that.
Fuck's sake. I'm so shit at booking my travel, man. Every fucking event.
Well, it just means you get some more time to drink. Get some.
I don't want
to
drink on my own like some old decrepit freak.
No, the beach is loaded.
Yeah, but none of them speak English.
Well, we'll find you somebody. Well, maybe some of the local people. Local staff or whatever. But whatever. But we'll have post-fight stuff coming on that. And John, of course, will have the and a half after that. But he'll tell you all that. But that's our short touch base from here. Anything else you want to say about Rio de Janeiro?
I'm inside it, and I'm ready to rock. I want to go to a favela and make friends with the people, bring this people back, this country united.
You're so full of shit. All right. Hey, sending it back to you, John.
All right, so there's a little feel of the action from down in Brazil. Thank you, fellas, both for the time. Appreciate Hot T always being so willing to volunteer his services for the MMA Roadshow faithful, and of course, always appreciate Cold Coffee holding it down and making that trip down to Rio de Janeiro. We had a lot of good times down there, man. We really did. I enjoyed my trips down there. Had a lot of fun. Speaking of travel, I will be traveling to Moncton, Canada next week for Fight League Atlantic 7. So that'll be my first show with Fight League Atlantic again. As I said, trying to get a little more commentary going this year, and this is an opportunity to work with a new organization that's really trying to build a regional scene out there on the Atlantic coast. And the people behind the scenes that I've been working with, you know, just so far, just been kind of over the phone and video conferencing and all that. But man, just passionate fans. That's what I love. An opportunity to work with people that are passionate fans of the sport and that want to do things the right way. Like a commitment to a high level product, a commitment to bettering the sport, a commitment to getting athletes opportunities. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting out there next week. If you happen to be in Moncton and listening to this, man, come say hello. I think we're going to do a little meet and greet at the weigh-ins. I mean, I hate to say a meet and greet. I'm just going to be there hanging out. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be there hanging out. But that'll be next week, so I'm looking forward to that. And then trying to line some things up in February as well. There may be maybe the return of Lingerie Fighting Championship, which was always fun for me and Cold Coffee. I think there's a possibility of a Tough Enough event here in Las Vegas. We'll see if that's done. I am going to make it out to Inglewood, California for Bellator 290. So I will be out there covering that, the network television show for Bellator. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, the schedule will start getting nuts in March. So looking forward to all that. Tonight is Power Slap. I'm going to be watching it. I know a lot of people are just absolutely disgusted by it, and I can understand that to a degree. I really can. But I'm going to at least watch it. I'm going to at least tune in. I will say maybe my taste for it will change. I only saw it once. I've seen the clips over the years. You know, I actually wrote a story on MMA Junkie years and years ago about the slap fighting out in Missouri that I couldn't turn away from. So we'll see. The one clip that started making its way around is absolutely disgusting. But that's the thing that I think is good about this one. It's so disappointing because it's got Las Vegas on it, right? So I think a lot of people, Las Vegas, that's Power Slap. I mean, you talk about another bad timing thing for Dana White and the Power Slap League. That clip going viral the week before this thing is supposed to launch. Now, if it was just a slap fighting going viral, maybe not a big deal, but having that Las Vegas logo on there, and it's not in Las Vegas. My understanding is there's a Las Vegas casino in Romania where they hosted this, but it's got that Las Vegas branding all over. But I will say this, You know, a lot of people, how's the commission getting involved in this? Oh, I can't believe the Nevada commission. That's why you want the commission involved, because they would step in there and say, no, stop. They'll have actual medical professionals on hand. They will have actually people that care about fighter safety on hand. All these guys will be getting MRIs. Now, again, if you think it's done, and I see a lot of people, and I've had the discussion with a lot of people, and I'm always happy to have it. And I get it, man. No defense. It's not an art if there's no defense to it. And I get that. I mean, the harsh reality is we're in a sport where people do get damaged, and we're okay with it. You know what I mean? But I guess, I don't know, the no defense changes it for some people. I get that. I do. I'm not sitting here trying to say this is the best new combat sport on the planet. I'm not. I'm just saying I will at least be checking it out. But I think for me, and this is the way I felt about it, when the commission first started to say, hey, we're going to regulate this stuff, I said, good. If it's going to be done, let's make sure medical testing is in place. Let's make sure that there are officials that care about it that are in place. So we'll see how it all plays out. I'm going to watch the debut episode, and I guess we could talk about it. We'll talk about UFC 283. We'll talk about maybe the debut of Power Slap, all on the and a half edition. So if you're supporting us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, it's as little as $3 a month. We really do appreciate it. And, you know, we like to interact with the community over there. So please do. That helps out the show a lot. But if nothing else, even if you just enjoy listening to this show, just take the time to rate us, review us, leave us a little feedback wherever you listen to. It just, you know, helps us get the show out there. And we like doing it. You know what I mean? Shogun, the final Shogun fight, and Terrence McKinney's back in action. Warley Alves versus Nicholas Dalby could be crazy. So Cody Stamann is in there. So listen, it could be a lot of fun fights. First pay-per-view of the year. Sad I'm not on the beach drinking originals, but happy I'll be able to take my kid to soccer practice tonight and come home and cook dinner for him. And you got to prioritize things sometimes, right? Maybe when he's out of the house, I'll be getting my ass back there out down in Brazil. But for now, I'll leave that up to the Young Bucks down there. Well, I'm calling Cold Coffee a Young Buck. What are we talking about? Sorry, cheap shot there, Cold Coffee. Cheap shot there that you're not here to defend yourself. Anyway, I see what I just – you're not there to defend yourself. And we were talking about Power Slide. Didn't even mean for that to happen. What are we doing? Anyway, as always, listen, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Hopefully my monologue rants are still acceptable for everybody for their entertainment pleasure versus having the back and forth dialogue. Miss those guys down in Brazil. I know they're going to have a good time. I think they've got a medium. I think they're – I don't even go into it, man. They got a light schedule down there. They're having fun. I'm happy for them. I hope they enjoy it. And I hope you guys all have a great week. Talk to everybody over at patreon.com/MMA Roadshow for the and a half. In the meantime, enjoy the week. And thanks for listening. We'll be right back.